If you look on the program, the title is from Colossians 3:14, and it's a portion of it from the NLT, which says, clothe yourselves with love. You know, when you put clothes on in the morning, it's a personal choice. It says something about you. And usually what you put on is what you want others to see you as. So it's influenced by the ones who will see you. Now, over Zoom conventions the last 4 years, I know for myself, I don't put on a suit and tie to go to convention. And I see a lot of suit and ties here this weekend, which is thrilling. I'm glad to put one on because it means we're actually here. When you put on a suit and tie, we used to call that your Sunday go to meeting clothes, which means you're going someplace where you think it's a place of reverence. And so we're glad that we can be here today. Now, as far as our friends on Zoom, I can't imagine what they're wearing right now. It could be anywhere from tuxedos to something else. But also, when we think about clothing ourselves, we also think about clothing ourselves on the inside. There's a choice of what we want to express from the inside. And that's the focus of tonight's generation. So that's our topic, clothe yourselves with love. And we'll get to the secondary title as we go along. So we all know if we find a scripture that doesn't really quite be put the way we like, we always go to a different translation. And we can sometimes search for a translation until we find one we really like. But here's a couple of translations that kind of talk to our topic tonight. The first one is from the NLT, and this is the entire NLT verse. We only have the one portion in the middle. The NLT says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. But there are other ones that we like, and we're going to take a look at those. The CEV says, love is more important than anything else. So it's putting an emphasis on love. It is what ties everything completely together. So I like that part of the translation. Actually, there's about three translations I wish I could like put all together into the Byron Keith translation for this. The next one that I liked was from the ERV. It says, together with these things, the most important part of your new life is to love each other. Love is what holds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, in this version, it emphasizes love for the body members. Paul wants to stir up in us more love in our lives for each other. So that brings us back to the title that you see on your program, Clothe Yourselves with Love, but I've retitled this Learning to Love Like God, because I think in this scripture and in this chapter, Paul really shows us how we can love like God. But to replicate God's love, we have to understand the depth and breadth of his love. So let's take a look at a few verses that speak of God's love. Now here's one everyone's familiar with. 1 John 4:7-8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we probably all quote that multiple times every day. Another one that describes our Heavenly Father is John 3:16. This might be the most memorized verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's a great one for us to remember. And I'll give you one example. We have two grandchildren, and we have sleepovers every Friday night with them. And a couple of years ago, when they were 8 and 9 years old, a sister suggested to me we might have them memorize a scripture, because they don't have Sunday school. We don't have Sunday school in our class. And so I thought it was a great idea. And I went online and I put in this scripture and then I pulled up coloring page. And it's amazing what you can get on the internet. So here came all these coloring pages with John 3:16 quoted there with pictures behind so they could color it. So I printed off one for each one. We read it. I explained what it was. I had them read it back to me. We talked about it a little bit more. And then I asked them if they could repeat it without looking at it. And they did. And then they colored it. 2 weeks later, they came over for another sleepover. I had another scripture and coloring page for them. And I said, do you remember the scripture that we had 2 weeks ago? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And they just rattled it off. If you're going to teach a child a scripture, I recommend John 3:16. Now, here's another scripture that's important for us to remember. This is from Romans 5, 7, and 8 from the NIRV. It is unusual for anyone to die for a godly person. Maybe someone would be willing to die for a good person. But here is how God has shown for his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How deep is God's love for us? It's not normal for someone to die for bad people, yet he sent his son into the world to die for a world of bad people. And there's another example of God's love in the Lord's Prayer at Gethsemane. The night before he died, Jesus spent time in prayer to pray for the disciples that his heavenly Father had given to him, but he also prayed for those who would come after through his message. And so we'd like to read just a portion of that prayer and especially pay attention to the parts that are highlighted. And this is part of the prayer that Jesus offered up that night. My prayer is not for the world, not for those you have given me, but for those you have given me because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I gave myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not for these disciples only, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me in them, and I will be in them. What a prayer. This was given hours before our master died on the cross, and he was praying for you and for me. That's an awesome thought. It expresses love for his disciples, but it also expresses love of perfect unity in the body of Christ. And that's one of the themes of Colossians 3:14. And another theme of Colossians 3:14 he mentions is that through this unity, we will know God's love for us. So this idea of loving one another is a way that we can learn to love like God. So we see the deep love that God has for us, but loving God expresses, or delivers rather, a dilemma. We want to learn to love like God. Jesus told us every one of us that we need to learn to love our enemies. And a few verses later, he says, be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. But how do you do that? We've got a dilemma here. We are to love perfectly when we're imperfect. Can we do that? Well, the answer is no. But did I mention that God is love and that he loves us? And so we read Isaiah 61:10, which says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So in this verse, before Paul talks about clothing ourselves, we hear Isaiah saying, God clothed us. Not with any rags or anything, but with garments of salvation and with Christ's robe of righteousness. And through that robe of righteousness, he justifies us so that we might have perfect intentions that he can look at. And so now we take a look at what Paul says about clothing ourselves. He starts by telling us to put off certain things. He says, put off uncleanness and lust in verses 5 through 7. And what does that mean? Well, he's talking about earthly passions here. He's talking about worship of earthly things. And we remember what the first two commandments were to the Israelites. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's what we're to keep away from, this idolatry. There was an English preacher that some are familiar with named Charles Spurgeon. He was a contemporary preacher in Brother Russell's day in England. And he quoted this, he wrote this about idolatry and what it plays in our lives and how important it is to take it off of ourselves. He says, if you love anything better than God, you are idolaters. If there is anything you would not give up for God, it is your idol. If there is anything that you seek with greater fervor than you seek the glory of God, that is your idol. And conversion means a turning away from every idol. So those are things we need to not just turn away from. We need to throw them off, take them off, burn them if you have to. The next thing that Paul tells us to throw off are wrath and malice. This is in verse 8. And when we speak about this, what comes to mind is most importantly, and this is concerning ourselves and our brotherhood, is evil speaking. You know, we shouldn't have any evil thought in our mouth when we speak to each other. I remember when I was a child, maybe some of you heard this from your mother or father when you started speaking out of turn. Watch your mouth. Did your parents ever say that to you? Yeah, they said that to me once in a while. And I learned that what comes out of our mouth can be really bad sometimes. Here's what Paul says about the mouth speaking. It's particularly speaking about the tongue. This is from James 3, 5 through 8. It says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It's a little wonder that Paul used this time to say, take that piece of clothing off. Get rid of that piece of clothing. The next thing Paul mentions, to take off is falsehood. And this is in verse 9. So taking off falsehood, you know, down through history, a lot of people have tried to convince others that lying is not a bad thing. And sometimes it's better. You heard the term white lie. It's okay to lie. Well, Paul says it's not okay to lie. We need to speak the truth, especially to one another. In Proverbs 12:22, we read, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." So put off a lying tongue and speak the truth in love. That's pretty straightforward. Don't lie. No falsehoods. So our conversations to each other need to be truthful, and they need to edify the body of Christ. And you know, these are things that Paul said to take off, and our Lord Jesus gave us the same idea of taking these things off. In Luke 5:36, it says, Jesus gave them an illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment, for then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. So in other words, before we start putting anything on, you know, we started with clothe yourselves with love. Before you do that, you've got to take these soil clothes off. You need to get rid of them. Here's what Paul says in Galatians 5:17. So the spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. They're always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. And so we come up to this idea of you have to put these things off. And in King James, it says to mortify the old man. Well, what does mortify mean? It means to put to death. Now, the Greek word for mortify means to put to death, but it has a secondary usage meaning to render weak or impotent. So you can try to kill something and it might actually not die. You have to get it out by the root. And so once you start trying to mortify a deed of the flesh, it's not a one-off thing. You have to keep at it. And we know this is true because how many of us have had a problem with any type of sin and you have it repeated over and over again? I know probably we can all say we've done that. So this idea is that you dig up the root of your sin as much as you can. So he's told us what to take off. Now he turns us our attention to how we should clothe ourselves. And we want to start by reading Galatians 3:26 and 27. Paul there says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes." So here's a statement that says when we're baptized into Christ, that's like putting on new clothes when we put on Christ. And we've heard this from this platform this weekend. He says it another way in Ephesians 5:2. He says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So we're become new creatures. We're getting up to close to our theme verse here. But in verse 7, in 10, 11, Paul says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." So it doesn't matter who we are. It's not just for the Jew. It's not just for the Gentile. It's for anyone who puts on Christ. That's what Paul's telling us. Put on Christ. That's the clothes you want to wear. And when someone looks at you, that's what they should see. But he goes even further with this. In Galatians 3:29, Paul says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now we're not only wearing these garments of salvation. People are looking at us and they should see us as heirs according to the promise. The world doesn't see us that way. But when I look out on the audience tonight, I see heirs according to the promise. What kind of clothes should heirs the promise of God wear? Finally, we get a recipe for how we can put on these clothes we're supposed to. In Colossians 3:12 and 13, Paul says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. And then he makes a list. Paul's great at making lists. Here's his list here, the things to put on. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. There's a lot in there. Let's take a look at some of these things. Any of you have a recipe book? It might look like this before you start adding the recipe. But here's a recipe for how God loves us. Step one, take off your soiled clothes. That's the first thing we need to do. Check your wardrobe. If you see spots, don't try to get rid of the spot. We know you can't do that. You got to get rid of that whole soiled garment. And he lists what they are: uncleanness and lust, wrath and malice, falsehood. And because we're imperfect, God clothes us in garments of salvation and covers us with Christ's robe of righteousness when we consecrate. And that allows us to be one and to be called Abraham's seed according to the promise. So having taken that, step one is taking off the bad clothes. Step two is to put on the clothes of God's chosen people. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. He says to make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, God forgave you. Do you remember that? That God forgave you and that we're required to forgive others? And then finally, above all, more important than any of these just listed, clothe yourself with love, which binds us, the body members of Christ, all together in perfect harmony. So, learning to love like God. God has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister, 1 John 4:21. That's the whole purpose of this, is that we love one another, and that's why we came here this week, to demonstrate our love for one another. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And dear brethren, we want to lay our lives down for one another. So here's a few scriptures, if you're taking notes, that you might write down, of ways that you can lay your lives down for each other. Romans 12:10, be devoted and give preference to one another. Romans 14:19, build up one another. Romans 15:7, accept one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25, care for one another. Galatians 5:13, serve one another. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burden. Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another. Philippians 2:3, regard others as more important. Colossians 3:13, bear with and forgive complaints against others. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11-14, encourage and esteem one another. Brethren, when we get finished taking off these old clothes and putting on these new clothes, what should be apparent to everyone they look at us is we're wearing the robe of salvation, the garments of salvation. So when we go out in public, and especially when we're together, let's share that with each other. Let's love one another. Let's remember how God loves us. And let's try to replicate how we love each other. Now, yesterday, Brother Tim finished by giving us an assignment to repeat a line in Greek. And I can't remember what it was. We couldn't read it because it was Greek on the screen. But you know what? When you stand up here and look at it, all the brethren, you've got a unique opportunity. So I want to finish the same way as Brother Tim did yesterday, but I don't have the Greek. So I want you to repeat after me. I love you. There you go. The rest of the week, tell your brethren that. Tell your brethren that, because the week's going to go by really fast. Don't waste a moment of it. Get together, tell one another that you love one another. That's the way God loves us, that we love one another, and that's what we should learn by putting on the clothes that the Apostle Paul gives to us. And may the Lord add his blessing as we remember this verse from Psalm 30, 11 and 12. Lord, you have clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So we thank our Heavenly Father for clothing us with gladness, and may we clothe ourselves as future heirs with Christ. Amen.